Hi everyone, and welcome to the next edition of Grecian's Gossip. Full house here today: David Byram,
hello;
Dan Clark,
hello;
and Jamie Hawkins.
Hello.
Right, plenty to discuss. So we were just discussing then 0-0 draw with Yeovil from Tuesday evening. If you watch the highlights, some great chances for City, which they just couldn't take. Well, all three of you were at the game, weren't you? But David, do you want to start us off? What did you make of it?
Yeah, it was an interesting one, really. You know, City played probably the best football I've seen them play for a while, to be honest. And, you know, they created a number of chances, more chances they've created in previous games. But ironically, the previous games where they found the net from those chances, they weren't so clinical this time. But, Yeovil looked half decent in attack as well. So I think it was a case, second half, when I noticed a few fans perhaps getting a bit frustrated that City hadn't created as much as they did in the first half. I don't think they could push as many men forward as perhaps they would have liked, because Yeovil looked quite good in the counter-attack. And so in the end it was a bit of a stalemate in the second half. But a point when City perhaps on another day would have taken all three. I think if they'd have got the goal, they probably would have gone on to win by about two or three.
You think Yeovil deserved a point in terms of an away performance?
I think it's difficult to argue that they didn't, really, because, you know, City did have the better of the chances, but they were in probably 10 or 15 minute spells here and there. It wasn't, you know, prolonged pressure for the 90 minutes or anything like that. And, you know, Yeovil had attacks of their own, and whilst they didn't sort of create as much out for Christy Penn to save, but they did create a couple of chances themselves. And, you know, I think if those had gone in, City would probably be thinking, well, how the hell we lost that? But a point is probably fair, yeah.
Mm. Dan, we were just talking about Jaden Stockley and his second half miss. I mean, we've become so accustomed to him hitting the back of the net that it was a bit of a surprise, wasn't it, to see that one go wide?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're sort of sitting in there and you're sort of wondering what on earth the centre-half's done it. They've nipped the ball on Stockley, it's 10 yards, he's beaten the keeper and just puts it wide, and you sort of, I think everyone will be sort of feeling very different if that goes in the back of the net, and Stockley should score that goal. You know, 9 times out of 100 he will score that goal. Then all of a sudden you've got a 1-0 win, you've got the 3 points, and, you know, sort of feel it wasn't, you know, the best performance, but got the win. But as he missed, and excellent, they had enough chances perhaps to win the game. They had, you know, Boateng hit the bar from about 6 yards out as well. I think Moxie had a three header from a corner that he would have been about 6 yards out and put wide as well. So they had enough good chances to win the game. Whether the overall performance was quite enough to deserve it, I'm not quite sure on that one, because they got into good positions a lot of the time. But, you know, the final ball, I think, actually both sides was lacking last night completely. Often, you know, sides in and around the box, and, you know, you have three men in the box to hit the cross with, and you let it go over everyone's head, or, you know, succession of corners, I think, which hit the first man in the first few minutes. And just, but I think both sides were just a little step off the pace in their attacking play, which always meant that it was going to be hard to see where the goal was going to come from. You know, the best chance came from a mistake from the defender where Stockley should have scored, but I don't think either side were quite at the top of their game last night, so perhaps a point that would have been, was probably the fair result. But if you know, on a boxing scorecard, for instance, I think City would have edged it on points, but didn't quite land that knockout blow that they were looking for. A
couple of nods from you there, Jamie, as well. You agree?
Yeah, I was just thinking back to the Carlisle game as well. Leaving the ground from both those games, a huge sense of frustration. The Carlisle game wasn't a great performance, and in the end it was a point game, because Carlisle played pretty well in the second half and hanging on. And yeah, last night it was just one of those where it could have played all night and probably wouldn't have scored. You know, it's just one of those games. You know, I guess you could look at it as, you know, keeps the sort of unbeaten run going slightly. But when you look at these sort of games, you know, I said, if realistically you want to be challenging for automatic promotion, you've got to be winning these games in hand, especially against, you know, sides down the bottom half of the table. And Yeovil lost sort of three or four going into this one as well. So, yeah, it was disappointing. You know, first sort of 10, 15 minutes could have easily been 3 or 4-0 up with the chance you created. But, you know, it was quite pleasing on the eye, the football that was played, compared to recent weeks at home. Saturday was pretty dire. You know, long balls up to Stockley again with no no one supporting him, whereas last night I had Matt Jay running in and behind him, which seemed to work, but we played some good stuff, and unfortunately the final ball and was lacking, and the quality of the finishing wasn't up to scratch. But you know, it's just one of those that you got to forget about in a way. The performance was good. Hopefully you can take that into Morecambe on Saturday. But you know, it's still in the playoffs, still very much in there. I can't remember the top of my head the gap to the top three now, but it's still doable with the games in hand, one or two still in hand on teams like Notts County. So yeah, it certainly could have been a lot better, but then I guess it could have been worse.
Mm. Well, I guess one of the other sort of interesting talking points about was the game was Ryan Harley, and when he came off sort of getting a cheer essentially from the crowd, but more sort of sarcastic one, you know, the idea of him being sort of cheered off because they were glad to see him replaced. Dave, you've written an opinion piece about this today, haven't you? So why don't you tell us your thoughts on that?
I just think it's, you know, everyone wants to see Exeter City do well, obviously, but I think, you know, you got to channel your frustrations into better things than cheering a player going off the pitch. It's ironically, it happened against the Oval in the away game as well, when Lloyd James was cheered off the pitch, and he had a much worse game against the Oval in the away game than Ryan Harley had last night. So, I mean, I didn't think Lloyd James deserved it either, really. It's, you know, it's not a nice thing to happen, and you know, you look at Real Madrid, for example. I said this in my opinion piece. Real Madrid fans will boo their own players, and people say, "Oh, you're spoiled. You need to get a sense of perspective and stuff like that." And you know, it's almost the same for this. Exeter City, you know, they're battling for promotion, and they're having whilst I think everyone can agree that the football isn't the best at the moment, and you know, it hasn't been the most fluent. They are battling for promotion, aren't they? And you know, to cheer a player off the pitch when the score is 0-0, and you know, he's had an uncharacteristic error here and there in the second half. But you know, he hasn't played that badly. He almost opened the scoring a couple of times. I think it's, you know, it's just a little harsh on Ryan Harley, to be honest. Mm.
Dan, what do you think it's all about?
I think there's obviously a lot, there's this element the fan base don't particularly like the way that Harley plays, and it can often be perhaps a little frustrating that, you know, he takes his time on the ball. He doesn't sort of, you know, look to lump it long quickly, sort of takes his time, sometimes slows up attacks but a little bit, and sort of, you know, when, you know, people might think they could go quicker in the attack, he cuts inside and checks, you know, holds on the ball. And it's his languid style as well that I think perhaps some of the big bank aren't overly keen on and would rather see a bit more of an all-action player playing now. I mean, you can sort of see the second half, it wasn't the best half he'd had yesterday. There was a couple of times he was caught in possession, as sort of, you know, and you sort of feel he perhaps could have been more alive to the situation, sort of having the ball pinched off him. But despite that, you still felt actually last night, if Exeter were going to score, Harley was going to be involved in it somehow, because he was the one player who looked like he might have, you know, him and perhaps Ian Boateng as well, were the ones who could create anything for Exeter. And you're looking at the rest of the side, and it's all very workmanlike, but no real spark from anyone. Obviously, you know, the rest of the team, Tilson isn't going to create anything too much. Jake Taylor never got in the game at all out on that right hand side, and didn't really create too much. You know, and the fullbacks in Sweeney and Woodman didn't really get forward, and yeah, in support of the game. And when they did, it was just, you know, long balls into the box or crosses that weren't hitting the men. So you're sort of seeing, well, where's the goal going to come from? It's going to either come from Harley or Boateng creating something for one of the strikers. So it does, you know, sort of feels it wasn't his best performance last night, Harley, but sort of, you know, sarcastically cheering a player off the pitch doesn't seem to, it's not the best way to sort of, well, to motivate the team and really sort of, you know, get behind them, because, you know, you're trying to push for a late goal and sort of, you know, splits the fans, sort of divides you, and sort of, I don't know what it was like in the Big Bang, but whether there might have been sort of, you know, arguments among people's selves, not quite the West Ham level of sort of, you know, in stand violence, but it sort of distracts from the actual aim of trying to cheer your team to win the game. So
was it more a manifestation of just frustration of the evening, do you think?
I think it might have been, and obviously the fact that Saturday as well, just, you know, the Carlisle game just went, didn't go, you know, it was a horrible game, and the result didn't, you know, wasn't what they expected. It just wasn't, you're looking into it and coming to the, you know, this is a Yeovil side who are, they're near the bottom of the league, they've got one of the worst away records of anyone. I think they've only won 3 games away from home all season. So you're sort of thinking, well, this is, you know, should be a 3 points, we should be just, you know, winning this game. It's sort of, I think, you know, I say on commentary last night that it felt quite similar to the Forest Green game at the end of January, in which, you know, Exeter looked the better side, and eventually you sort of feel they're going to get the first goal, and then they'll get the second one, and, you know, it'll be a comfortable 2-0. And then as you're sort of going on and sort of you're into the last 10 minutes and the goal still hasn't come, and you're sort of thinking, well, this is just a frustrating points being dropped in a, you know, in a relatively easy game in hand against a weaker side, and sort of a missed chance really. But I guess when you also look at it, you know, Coventry last night were the only other side in and around we played. They dropped points against Luton, and so actually Exeter are still in exactly the same position that they were, you know, beforehand. They've still got the gap to the, you know, I think it's a 3-point gap to the sides in 8th place with games in hand as well. So even if, you know, if they lose all their games in hand, they're still going to be in the playoffs. So it's just frustrating that, yeah, this was a real chance to push, you know, to put the pressure on the sides, you know, third and fourth from the table, and they just didn't take it and never truly looked like they were going to either.
Jeremy, I know I don't want to jump to conclusions because it's only two draws as well, frankly, so not even defeats, but is pressure getting to City slightly, do you think?
Possibly. I mean, they're still in a good place, obviously, you know, still in the playoffs, but yeah. You know, you look at the games, Carlisle and Yeovil certainly should have been, you think, a nail on 3 points given on paper, but, you know, the record against them hasn't been great if they haven't beaten them in the last 4, something like that. But, you know, you shouldn't take that into account, of course. And I think it's more, I don't know, the frustrating thing with the fans at the moment is perhaps the performances at the moment. Like I said, last time played really well, but as Daniel was saying, Saturday was pretty poor. You know, the last few home performances haven't been up to the standard that perhaps some would think, given how we used to play back along under Tisdale. I think it's just more frustration at the moment. Every team goes through a little sticky spot at the moment. You know, Luton are doing it at the moment. All teams at the top do that, but, you know, it's the thing with football, you win again on Saturday and it's all forgotten and it's all happy Larry and it's all back to winning ways. But I don't know, perhaps the pressure's getting to them. It's a long season, of course, and, you know, I think Tisdale's highlighted a number of times how tired the players looked after Saturday. There's quite a few that were sort of on their knees after the game. It's a grueling season, a lot of games coming up as well, of course, a lot of Tuesday, Saturdays. So yeah, maybe the pressure's getting to them, but then a lot of the players have been in this position before. Tisdale's been in it so many years, so he'll know as well as anyone how to lift the pressure, if you like.
Well, I mean, speaking of the squad and a bit of rotation, Matt Jay came into the seen for his first start in a while. I mean, David, you caught up with him after the game, I think, didn't you? So let's have a listen to what he had to say.
I think a little bit disappointing, as we did so well, especially in the first half an hour and the first half, and we obviously had quite a few chances. But point to point, I suppose, and we've got to take that as a positive and move on to the next couple of games in quick succession. So yeah.
And I guess it was one of those games, you know, if the goal had come, you probably would have gone on to win, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of them really, and probably should have taken one of the chances, but that's just the game at the moment. We did everything right but put it in the back of the net, so I'm obviously a little bit disappointed with that, but, you know, got to keep striving and keep pushing on, and I'm sure it'll come good.
And your first start for a while, how do you find it out there?
Yeah, it's obviously the pitch has changed a little bit. It's winter football, as Matt Taylor says, but look, every chance I get, I love it, and it's what it's all about. You train to play, and thoroughly enjoyed it, and hope for many more to come. So,
And you're obviously given the start at the back end of 2017 now, or now 2018. And you sort of dropped out of the team for a while and you came back in tonight. Was it sort of difficult to get that start and then find yourself back out the team?
No, I wouldn't say so, because that's what you train for. You train, and the reserve team under 23 games have been really, really good, really competitive games, and it kind of keeps you up to speed with what's to come on a Tuesday night or a Saturday afternoon. So, I wouldn't say so. So it's been good.
You must be fed up of seeing keepers make great saves against you as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's going. I just need to hit one off my shin or off my nose or something like that, and it will just go in. So, just got to, you know, keep striving and keep taking my chance when I get it.
And yeah, you scored so many goals in the under-23s. Are you confident that as soon as you get that goal, sort of perhaps click a little?
Yeah, I think as soon as one goes in, fingers crossed they'll pour in. So just got to keep working on the training ground, keep going, and hopefully one will go in.
And obviously the under-23s this weekend as well, straight after the sort of first thing, you've been given an indication of which game you're
in? No, I think the plan is the lads that, obviously if you play on Saturday, you won't play on the Sunday, and we probably, if you start, but the lads will stay up. Some of the lads will stay up after the Morecambe game and play on the Sunday, which I'm more than happy to play in. You know, like I said, a game's a game. I'm not bothered where I play. The 23 cup games have been really, really good, and the lads have been doing well. So I'm not. You know, obviously you want to play in the first team game. If you don't, the 23 games will be good.
And I guess the under 23 game, a great opportunity for the under 23s and the younger players as well against Wolves to get through to the quarter.
Yeah, I mean, we've done really, really well, but this is, you know, that's just the start. All that's forgotten about if we don't go through. So, you know, it's going to be a really competitive game. We'll do our homework on them, and as I'm sure they'll do their homework on us, and hopefully we can get the better of them, yeah.
Right, that was Matt Jay there talking. David, you sounded pretty impressed with what you saw from him in the game.
Yeah, he looked lively, to be honest, and yeah, he's still not got that senior goal yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he forced the keeper into a good save, had a couple of other chances, and, you know, perhaps offered something different to City's other strikes that they had this season, you know. And it was similar against Barnet in his last start. You know, he buzzes around. You know, the defenders know they're not going to get a second's rest with him in the side, because, you know, he'll just close everything down. And he does actually work quite well with Stockley. So, yeah, you know, a really impressive performance, and I was a little surprised to see him subbed off, to be honest. I mean, defensively, perhaps, you know, taking him off and keeping Harley on for a little longer perhaps made sense, because Harley is a better defensive player. But I think with Carl Edwards and Matt Jay in a team against a tiring defence, I think that could work quite well.
What do you think his thought process was bringing him off?
I think it was a little more defensively, you know, because we did see Ryan Harley go off eventually, as we discussed. But, you know, I think Ryan Harley's a very good player defensively. He'll hold shape well and perhaps, you know, work a little better than Carl Edwards would in that situation. And, you know, at the time, he were a little on top. So I think it was a case of, you know, just bringing Carl Edwards on for pace, and then, you know, keeping Harley on to just shore up the midfield and the defence a little.
Dan, would you like to see more of Matt Jay? Can you see him starting against Morecambe?
Well, I suppose the thing with Matt Jay is every so often he seems to come into the side, look fairly lively in a start, put a decent performance together, and then seems to drop out of the squad for 3 weeks and before coming back in. So you never quite, I think, you know, quite what Tisdale makes him. I think it was the game for Christmas, or was it maybe the Barnet game, in which he played in that game. He looked really quite lively, a good performance, and then wasn't in the squad for a couple of weeks, which, you know, it's put a similar kind of performance to last night. I think it really actually helped, you know, well, helped City in an attacking sense of having someone up alongside Jaden Stockley, so, you know, to give him a bit more of a link man up there with him, to have someone to, you know, to try and build attacks from. I think they worked reasonably well together. I think it was Stockley, you know, perhaps a bit of a shame that Stockley had probably one of his least effective games for a while, actually, last night, when he actually had someone up there, you know, sort of off him to link the ball to win, you know, so when he wins the flick-ons and wins the headers, there's someone up there with him to win the second balls. But I think, you know, as we've seen, say, Matt Jay, he looked quite lively, sort of, you know, harried defenders. He sort of, you know, had three or four chances and didn't take any of them, and that might be something that eventually comes to a bit of a concern, because, you know, he hasn't got his goal yet, and you probably could have said, with the amount of really good chances he's had this season, you'd probably have expected three or four goals from him, and he hasn't got one yet. So I think he does need to get a goal sooner rather than later. But you know, he didn't do his, you know, his case any harm last night. Whether he'll, you know, stick in the side for the Morecambe game, I'd be surprised if he started at Morecambe. It just in the way it's, you know, gone in the past with Matt Jay, sort of plays, you know, almost the occasional game in the squad and then back to being on the bench. But you know, there seems to be showing there is a player there that could be a useful player for City. But he did link up well with Stockley, but he's going to have to start scoring goals, I think, sooner rather than later if he wants to, you know, keep his spot in the side more than the occasional, you know, one start a month kind of game.
Mm. How old is he? Does anyone know?
22.
20. Okay, yeah. Because I think back in what you were saying, Dan, he's been on the fringes for a little while, hasn't he? So I suppose like you said, a goal certainly wouldn't harm his case at all. Jamie, so looking ahead, Morecambe, how important a game do you think that is for City?
Oh, massively. You know, having not won these last two games, like I say, you're looking at the games and Carlisle, Yeovil and Morecambe, you're looking at least 6 points from that. We've only got two, so you know, they're obviously struggling at the moment for, you know, at the bottom fighting relegation. So yeah, you've got to be looking at 3 points, I think, if you want to be looking for promotion. Obviously another hectic week with Port Vale on Tuesday as well, just two massive games against two struggling teams, and to be in the position City are, you've got to be, you know, looking at maximum points from that. And picked up somewhat over the, you know, on the road recently with wins at, you know, Grimsby and Crewe, two fellow struggling teams. So I think based on recent performances, okay, they haven't been fantastic, but haven't lost the games, so they shouldn't be going into the games with, you know, low confidence or morale issues. Obviously a long trip as well, but yeah, I would be feeling pretty confident going into the game. Probably make a few changes. You know, I think Tisdale said after Yeovil, there's quite a few tired players out there, so we'll probably shake up a bit. Like Daniel said, Matt Jay might drop out for and go back to a 4-3-3 or 4-5-1, depending on injuries, I suppose. With Lee Holmes probably going to be out for a few more days yet, so he might give the likes of Kyle Edwards a start or bring Lloyd James back into the team. He's been out for a while. I think Boateng's been struggling a little with fitness. I think Tisdale said he was going to drop him for Yeovil as well. So might make a few changes here and there. But yeah, like I said, you've got to be looking at the Morecambe game with 3 points on your eye here.
Mm. David, can you see Tis making many changes for that?
I think, the ones Jamie said, really. I think Boateng will probably play after getting man of the match on Tuesday night. I think the fact that it's now an away game and not on a pitch that seems to sort of tie the players out quite a bit will probably mean that the fitness issues aren't so sort of full on for an away game. Obviously, Jordan Moore-Taylor's going to miss the game, so still waiting for the results of his scan. Lee Holmes is a doubt. Paul, as I said, his injury is a 7-day thing, and he said that on Tuesday night, so I don't know if he meant from Tuesday night or from when he sustained the injury. So he'll be a doubt for the game. Matt Jay, you know, he could play again, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him play for the under-23s again on Sunday against Wolves, because, you know, it's the Premier League Cup, it's a good competition, and, you know, I think City want to do well in it. But, you know, he obviously, they'll focus on the league more than the Premier League Cup, so, you know, I wouldn't be too surprised to see him start either, so I think it'd be interesting to see which way that goes.
Mm. Prediction?
I'll go 2-0 City.
Dan?
1-0 City, I think.
Jamie?
Both of those are all going to go for, so I'm going to have to go for 2-1 City.
2-1, okay. All pretty confident of the victory then. So, catch up with us next week and we'll be there to discuss that game. Catch us on the next edition of Grecian Gossip.